Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Hello there and welcome back to another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. So in this episode, I want to talk about contracts and business contracts. And before you switch off and you think, oh my God, Verity, that sounds so boring. I promise you, if you are some kind of service-based business, this episode is going to resonate with you somehow, on some level or another. And before we go any further, I do want to obviously throw in the disclaimer that this is not legal advice. This is not any kind of advice which is, you know, take any of this as the God's honest truth. This is just my observations on contracts and some tips and pointers of things you might want to look at there. And obviously, if you are drawing up your own contracts, I would suggest you get proper advice that's relevant to the services that you provide and your niche and your business needs and all that kind of thing. But I do think that there is a general discussion that needs to be had around contracts when it comes to particularly service-based businesses. Now, the inspiration for this particular podcast episode very much came from me spending time in Facebook groups. And I know you're probably thinking, Verity, you go on so much about how much you hate Facebook. I'm not a Facebook girl. We all know that I'm not a Facebook girl. To me, Facebook is still very much what it was back in the day when you had like the download game things, you know, where you had to like feed your dragon or feed your pet and you like poked people and all that kind of thing. To me, that is what Facebook is. I'm just not a massive fan of Facebook anymore. But regardless, I mean, if it stayed the same, I'd still be irritated at it probably. But Facebook's just not the platform for me. However, on saying that, I am in quite a few Facebook groups, which I do check a few times a week just because I know that they are where my target audience are. There are people who listen to my podcast who hang out in the Facebook groups that I'm part of. And so even though I might not like the platform, there is a value for me hanging out there, you know, even just a few times a week. So that aside, but what I've started noticing a lot in various Facebook groups are contract related questions, or not directly around contracts, but issues coming up that I feel that if people had appropriate contracts in place, then they could almost avoid these issues. So for example, ones when questions come up around payment, oh, somebody hasn't paid me, or they're saying that they don't have to pay me just yet, these kinds of things, or I've got a client who's asking me if I can add this service on and I don't want to do it, or the client is now trying to say that I need to charge less, or, you know, whatever it is. And 9 times out of 10, with a lot of these questions, what most people write back and one of the first things that comes up is, well, do you have a contract? What does your contract say? And a lot of the time people will turn around and say, the person who wrote the post in the first place will say, well, I don't have a contract. And then I just kind of sit there and smack my face and I think, oh my gosh, why? Because, you know, contracts really, really save you in the point of view that they set out exactly what you're offering from as a service, and therefore what the individual who you're offering the service to can expect from your service. And right at the beginning, if you put that out there, it's in writing, quite literally in black and white, you both sign it, then you both know exactly what you're working towards. And for example, I always have in my contracts for my like podcast monthly management, my podcast launches, any coaching that I do, I actually have a clause as well within my contract saying that if any changes are going to be made to the contract, the changes need to be requested in writing and both parties need to agree in writing to those changes before they can go forward. And the reason I do that is to protect myself, it's to protect my business, and it's also to protect my client, because then everybody just knows exactly what is, you know, is what is expected of them. And again, one of the biggest things that I've noticed, and you know, I've experienced this myself as well, but one of the biggest things that I've noticed in these Facebook groups when talking about contracts, I would say about eight, nine times out of 10, it comes back to the conversation of money and being paid. Now, at the end of the day, we know how ridiculously important it is to get paid for your services because, you know, you're a business and a lot of people, you're either a small agency or there's just one of you or whatever, but kind of regardless of the size of your business, you need to make money. You need to have that income. Otherwise, how are you going to pay yourself and pay your wages and all the rest of it? And so often I see people saying things like, you know, I've got a late payment, or I've got a client who's refusing to pay. I've seen that quite a few times, actually. Or I've got a client quibbling about, you know, when they pay me and what have you. And again, it comes back to what is written in your contract. So does the contract have payment terms, for example? You know, so once they've once you have sent the contract, not the contract, sorry, once you've sent the invoice, does your contract state that payment has to be made in a certain time period, i.e. 10 days or 30 days or whatever? And then what happens if that doesn't happen? So if your client doesn't pay within that time frame, what is the penalty? Is there a penalty? You know, do you add a certain percentage on as a late fee? Do you send them additional, you know, an additional invoice? Do you cease all services until payment is made? I'm not telling you that any of these are right or wrong. I'm just giving examples here. I really, really need to stress that because I'm kind of guessing as well that, well, actually I know this, that when you're adding on late fees, I believe there's different regulations and different laws that actually affect how you add on late fees depending where you are listening. So as I was said, I really want to stress, you know, none of this is legal advice, but it's the point that what is written in your contract. If you don't have anything written in your contract, then you're going to find it quite difficult to start, you know, pushing forward and almost not arguing, but creating that case with your client when you're trying to stand up for yourself and saying, well, you know, I'm not going to do any work until you pay me, for example. Well, if your contract doesn't say that, then actually you could be accused of not fulfilling your end of the bargain, I'm supposing. So what you want to do what I do whenever I'm creating contracts is, and I know this sounds really, really awful, and I think this is my background in healthcare compliance showing through here, but I always think, once I've written down my services, you know, what I'm offering, what I'm expecting of my client, because I do actually include in my contracts as well what is expected of a client. So for example, in my my monthly management packages for podcasting, even though I say that I create graphics and sound bites, that is part of one of my monthly packages, I do make it quite clear that I'm not a social media manager. So I'm not writing captions, I'm not scheduling that content. I am literally just creating the graphics and the sound bites, and then I'm handing over to the client for the client to sort that out. And I make it clear in the contract that that is the client's responsibility to then do something with those graphics and with that sound bite, and that the actual ongoing promotion is not down to me, if that makes sense. Because I think it's really important to outline exactly what is expected of both you and your client there. But my next thing to do is actually write, you know, kind of think to myself, what are the worst case scenarios that could happen here? And I make sure that I have then got essentially steps and things, for want of a better word, in place in case any of those eventualities were to occur. Now, I know that we don't want to think of worst case scenarios. We don't want to think that anything bad will happen to, you know, to the contract, because we know we tend to go into services and offering our services with the best of intentions. And the majority of the time, clients go into having services or using your services with the best of intentions as well. But you need to think of eventualities. So what are you going to do if your client doesn't pay? What is that going to look like? What is that process? And, you know, you might be thinking, wow, Verity, all of a sudden my contract's going to be really lengthy. But then what you can do is you can have standard operating procedures, your policies and procedures. And maybe that's actually a separate episode that we kind of dive into. Policy development. I could go on. I did an entire MSc on policy development. I could go on about that for hours. So actually, maybe that is something that we need to dive into as a separate. Let me know if you think that'd be a useful episode for you. But the point is that if you're feeling that all of this information is going to be too overwhelming in a contract, you can actually have it as a standard operating procedure and your policies and procedures, and then refer to it within the contract as well. But you know, you need to be thinking to yourself, what is that going to look like if the client can't pay? What if your client suddenly goes out of business and they have got a load of outstanding debts? What's that going to look like? What if you become ill and you can't provide a service? How's that going to look? You know, what if you go on holiday? I know that that's quite a nice thing, which is brilliant. We all want to go on holiday, but how is that going to look like for your service? How will that impact on the work? What is your workaround going to be like that, so the service is not interrupted with your client? You know, there's loads of other eventualities that you can think about. What if, depending on the services that you offer, what if you're snowed in, for example? What if there is a huge, some awful event, like they call them force majeure, a major event basically, where, you know, maybe there is an earthquake, depending on where you live. Maybe there is a, heaven forbid, you know, earthquake, tsunami, you know, anything. I'm not trying to say I want any of this to happen. I'm just, you know, giving quite extreme examples. But what if it's like a heavy snow day, for example, and your service was that you were going to do something for a client, and actually because of the snow, I don't know, all the power lines are down or something. I don't know. I'm just, you know, snowballing here. No pun intended. That was a good pun. I'm going to leave that in. But, you know, it's completely the point of what are you potentially going to do in these eventualities? What if you had a coaching call and then 5 minutes before the coaching call, your client messages you because they've ended up in hospital and they can't make it? What is your eventuality going to be? Do they just lose the call, or can they book within 7 days, or can they, you know, just add it on to the end of the coaching period that you'd originally got booked in? What if you need to cancel within 24 hours? Well, how's that going to look? And I'm sure at the moment you're possibly thinking, my gosh, this seems completely overwhelming. There seems to be so much there that Verity's talking about. But what I'm trying to get you to do is just think about what actually needs to go in a contract and how important a contract is to really protect you and your business and also your client. Because what you don't want to do is ever get to a point where you don't have something robust to say, this is what we're going to do in this situation. And as I said, when I'm in these Facebook groups, 8-9 times out of 10, a lot of it comes back to payment and clients not paying on time, or clients not paying as per an agreed term. But then you find out that the agreed term was just verbal, or just put in like a Facebook Messenger of like, hey, this is my service for this hourly rate. Yeah, that's great. I'll pay that. Here's the work. And then, you know, people just go off and do the work. Now, obviously, a lot of this is negated if you use, you know, different services like Upwork and all that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're writing contracts and you find your clients outside of services like Upwork and stuff, because I don't use those, so I can't really comment on them. You know, people per hour, all those kind of things. I don't use them, so I can't really comment on how that works exactly. But I am talking about how, as I said, I offer services, you know, launch packages and monthly management and what have you. And it's just about having a contract in place to really think about what are the potential eventualities that could happen. So I'm going to give you an example here. I actually have a contract with a client, and they ended up in quite a bit of monthly arrears, which, to be quite honest with you, was, you know, my fault from the start. I should have put my foot down the first month that they didn't pay me on time. But there's a friendship relationship there, as well as, you know, as well as the business relationship. So do you know what? There was a lot of journaling that went on, and that a lot of reflection. We all know that I'm in, you know, happy with, I love my reflective activities and what have you. But there was reflection that went into that as to how I can prevent that happening again. But kind of regardless, how it played out was they owed me money. I continued to do work for them. The money that they owed me kept adding up and up and up. And eventually I just turned around and I said, look, I'm actually enforcing my contract at this point. The contract stated, or still does state, in fact, all my contracts state that if payment is not made within, I have a 10-day payment window. So from when the invoice is issued, clients have got 10 days in which to pay me any monies owed. And how my contract is stated is that any money not paid within that 10-day period may mean that there is an interruption to services provided, i.e. basically I can turn around and say, I'm not going to work for you because you're not paying me. So tit for tat, you know. So what happened was I enforced that, and I did get paid, but I really had to pull out the stops and kind of be like, this is what I'm enforcing. I told you it's written in the contract to say that I don't have to, you know, I'm not going to work and that services may be interrupted. Well, services are being interrupted because I've got so much outstanding money. And yes, on reflection, yes, we could have prevented me getting to that point. I could have, you know, the month one when money was delayed being paid, I should have just, you know, in hindsight, just, you know, turn around then. But the point was, is that I did actually have it in a contract that said, and I was then protected. So then they couldn't turn around and be like, oh, but you know, you didn't uphold your end of the contract. You've stopped working. As I said, it was in the contract that both parties signed, both me and them have signed, to say that work would be, or services would be interrupted if payment was delayed or not made within the allotted window there. So as I said, I really need to stress, none of this is legal advice. I don't want anyone to take any of this as legal advice, but I think it raises some really, really important points. I think it's really, you know, easy to think this will never happen to me. I will never be in that situation. However, you know, never say never is what they always say. And what I would really, really recommend is if you don't have contracts for your services within your business, is get some contracts in place. And if you do have contracts in place, if you've just done a bit of a copy and paste from the internet, or if you've just done a bit of a random copy and paste from somebody else who had a contract and it looked really good because there were lots of words in it and jargon, is just go through it and make sure that it is really relevant to your business. You know, I like to review contracts and templates at least once a year because it keeps it fresh of mind for me and it keeps it up to date. And also sometimes you read back on things and you go like, yeah, no, that's not what I want going forward. That doesn't mean that you can just, you know, rewrite all of your contracts, by the way, and just change them all without telling your clients. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, for new clients, you think might be thinking, oh, well, you know, that clause doesn't work for me anymore. So anybody else that I take on, I'm going to change that particular bit of the contract moving forward for new clients, for example. It might get you to start negotiating contracts as well for previous clients. I don't know. As I said, not legal advice. The point is, though, is just encouraging you to make sure that you have got contracts in place to protect you, yourself, your business, you, yourself. Yeah, me, myself, and I. But to protect you, your business, and also your clients there. So I hope this episode has been helpful. It's been quite reflective for me. And otherwise, I will see you in the next episode. Actually, before I go, I completely forgot to say, if you're listening to this in real time, this episode will be published on the morning of Wednesday, the 22nd of March. And I know that a lot of you have been contacting me over the last few months to ask, Verity, please, can you put together a podcasting course? Really, really want a podcasting course. So that podcasting course is called The Confident Podcaster. It is currently available for pre-sale of a discount of £200. That's the discount. So it is currently on sale for £297. That price is only available though until midnight on the 22nd of March. So if you're listening after the 22nd of March, 2023, then that price will have increased. However, if you are listening to this before midnight on the 22nd of March, 2023, then you can sign up to the Confident Podcaster. The whole point of the course, it will take you through from you having an initial concept idea of creating a podcast all the way through to launching and hosting an ongoing management of your course. It really does cover everything. Strategies in place for how I reached the charts for my own podcast. I'm teaching you these strategies. So it's not a copy and paste service. It is where you are going to end up with a completely unique podcast. It's so super exciting. So the link for that is in the show notes. But as I said, if you are listening to this on Wednesday, the 22nd of March, 2023, that £200 discount, so it will be on sale for £297, is only available until midnight. From the 23rd of March onwards, the price will increase by £100. So it will go into pre-sale. It will then take the price to £397, which again is £100 discount, because as I said, when it fully launches in April, then the price will be £497. And I don't plan to do discounts that will take it down to the £297 in particular, pretty much ever again. It will never be that lower price. So if that is something that you're interested in, I would highly recommend you hit the link for the Confident Podcaster in the show notes. And Otherwise, as ever, if this episode has resonated with you, if you've enjoyed this episode, please let me know over on Instagram. I love chatting to you in the DMs about the episodes that you have enjoyed and any ideas you have for future episodes. And on that note, I will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. Before you go, I would absolutely be overjoyed if you could take just 2 minutes to leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Reviews are a great way to tell Apple Podcasts how much you enjoyed the show, and it helps the algorithm to push out the podcast to more people, thereby helping us to help empower even more badass businesswomen to grow their inner CEO and grow to be the confident CEO of their business that they can be. I love to shout you out in your reviews as well. So you never know, you might be hearing your name on the podcast in the next episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.